Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28, the paradox of Christianity, part 1. Have you ever said or done something you later regretted? And every time you think of it, you're embarrassed all over again. Imagine having it written down in the Bible for all to read for the next 2,000 years. Our text for this session could easily be titled, "What Was I Thinking?" Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 20. Then the mother of the Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." So he said, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." What a narrative. The mother of Zebedee's sons. We're talking about James and John here. You remember what was before this? Back in chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that in the generation when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." But it was not just the mother. The boys were in on the deal as well. Proud, arrogant, self-seeking. This was a problem of the Lord's followers right to the end. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Mark chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. "Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?' But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest." Luke chapter 22, verse 24. "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." That last one was during the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed. Jesus' response was critical. "You do not know what you ask." The greatest glory in God's kingdom goes to those who suffer the worst for Christ. There's a cost of discipleship. "You will indeed," verse 23 tells us. James was beheaded by King Herod in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. John was tortured and exiled. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. "The places of honor are chosen by God for whom it is prepared." This kind of self-seeking only causes problems as it did. Look at verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. The lesson? Well, greatness and leadership are different among believers and non-believers. Unbelievers tend to become dictatorial in style because of the power and authority and the grip of human nature. Believers lead by being servants and giving themselves away as Jesus himself did. At the heart of Christianity is an attitude of giving sacrificially. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The world tells you to get all that you can get. But in order to be like Jesus, you must give. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That attitude requires major change in a life. John chapter 12, verse 24. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." It's a true paradox. You must die to live. The next verse, John chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus continued with, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Christian sacrifice begins with a cause to join, a ransom for many. This is the gospel message. The early disciples left everything to follow Jesus. Why? They were captured by a cause. Two realities became clear to them. Both were related to God's redemptive plan. The kingdom of God was at hand, and the Son of God was among them. They wanted to be a part of this life-changing cause. The book of Acts tells the record. The early church gave sacrificially of themselves, their houses, their incomes, their possessions, their lands, their time, their talents, and they were willing to suffer, to be persecuted, even murdered, for the name of Jesus Christ. Why would they give so much? Why would they endure so much? They were part of a cause, helping to build the kingdom of God. They willingly gave what they had. We have the same choice before us today as Christians: to live selfishly for ourselves, or to give selflessly to others. The greatest cause is reaching people for Jesus Christ. Christian sacrifice continues with following Jesus' example, to give his life. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us. Does he expect less from us? Going without, that the cause might benefit? The example of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Mark 12, 41. "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites," which make a quadrants. "So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" She could have kept one of those coins, and it would not have mattered to anyone, but she held nothing back from the work of the Lord, and trusted him for her needs. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus speaks to it. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." when you see a teaching like this, it's important to transport back to the time that it was written, it's spoken, and understand its meaning in the culture. And then bring that forward to the present time for application. The imagery here speaks of the purchase of grain, a woman purchasing grain. She would go and bring a basket with her to purchase grain from a merchant and from a vendor, and she would negotiate a price, and when the price for the grain was settled, she would then take the basket and they would begin to fill it. And they would fill it up, and then they would shake it, and it would settle the grain. They'd fill it up again, and then they'd shake it, and they would keep doing that until it reached the top. And then they would continue to pour the grain on there until it made like a cone shape on top of the basket. And the woman would have the basket in her skirts of her clothing, and she would carry the basket home in her skirts so that if any of the grain that was on the top fell, it would fall into her skirts and none would be lost. That's the imagery. We're talking about abundant living. We're talking about abundant living that begins with abundant giving. As we give, God will give back. And He'll give back in ways that we can't even imagine, we can't even conceive of. Let me tell you something. The reality is that the happiest people on earth are givers. The happiest people on earth are givers. And why is that? Well, because God's Word tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the second part of it, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." When we give of ourselves, our heart is changed. And the heart of Jesus Christ shines through. You have a great day.